Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who had heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. He was amazed at their unbelief. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, we ask right now that this scripture, these words, this passage that was written down so long ago, the events that took place, that you make them relevant for us today, that this passage come alive for us, and that you open our hearts to your truth, to your word, so that this passage may in some way change us, strengthen us, and help us as we prepare to do your work. Be here with us now, Lord, by the presence of your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we've been doing this mosey through Mark. And last week, before last week, we were talking a lot about ministry, about how Jesus's ministry could be applied to us and what we could learn from it, and how our ministry is directly affected by what he did. And then last week we sort of took a break from all of that to talk about doing and action and all of that. And we talked about how Jesus took a break. He climbed in the boat and he took a nap in the middle of the storms going on around him. He found time to rest. And we talked about that with our ministry, that sometimes it's good to take a nap. And like I told the children in the children's sermon, recharge our batteries. But this week, we're back at work. And so is Jesus. And we see here in this passage that he has gone back to Nazareth, back to his hometown, to continue his ministry, to continue doing God's work. But he meets resistance there. He meets the worst kind of resistance. He meets resistance at the hands of his own people. People he knows, relatives. They resist his ministry because they know him. And they say, "Isn't this Joseph and Mary's kid? Isn't this the guy who used to be a carpenter around here? Who is he?" It says they took offense. Who does this guy think he is coming in here telling us how to live or what we should be doing? A lot of times discouragement can come from familiar people. And I'm sure that all of you know that well, that at times in your life you've tried to do the right thing, or you've tried to do what God wants you to do, and the people who are the closest to us, the people who we depend on for support sometimes, can be the ones that really discourage us. And they may not know that they're doing it, but it could be that they're so familiar with us that they are unable to see the higher calling that we are trying to meet. I know this to be true for myself. A few years ago, when I decided to answer the call to go into ministry, I was working at Tesis in Columbus, and this lady that worked there with me talked to me every day. She knew me well. She heard that I was leaving. She said, "Why are you leaving?" I said, "Well, I'm going to become a preacher." She looked at me for a minute, and then she goes, "I don't see it." And she knew me well, but she was sure that, you know, I was not cut out to be a preacher. She just didn't see it. And you know, there was a position in Columbus at a church that Claire and I were both very familiar with, where we knew a lot of people, that was open, and it was about the same time that the position here at this church came open. And I truly believe that was probably where I would end up. And I'm so glad that I didn't, because we knew so many people there. I would have always been Ray and Donna's son, or I would have been Claire's husband, or I would have been that guy I went to high school with. You know, they have that saying, it's hard to preach to your parents' friends and to your friends' parents. That's what it would have been. So I can relate to what Jesus must have felt going into Nazareth to face all of these familiar people who didn't want to hear him and who took offense at him telling them that this is the Word of God. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to see it. A lot of times people have trouble identifying the work of God coming through someone that they're already familiar with. Maybe because they're not expecting it, or maybe they don't want to see it. And you know, this brings up something. When a stranger does something kind, a lot of times we're just floored by it. We're just amazed by it. But when somebody familiar does something kind, we just kind of expect it. And if they don't do something kind, then, you know, we're really mad at them. But I think angels get a lot of probably undeserved credit. Now, I believe in angels. I believe that they intersect with our lives and all of that. But have you ever noticed that, like, let's say there's a lady, her name is Luann. She breaks down on the side of the road, and a stranger stops and helps her, gets her car running again, and then he gets in his car and drives off. What does Luann say? That was an angel. The Lord sent me an angel. It was a miracle. Because we can't believe that people would actually do something so kind as to stop and help. Now, if Luann's neighbor or her sister or whoever stopped and helped her, it would just be, yeah, you should have done that. You saw me in trouble. A lot of times when people do something good for others, if it's somebody that we're familiar with, we don't really think anything of it. And that can be very discouraging when we talk about our own ministry and how we want to carry out God's will here on earth, how we can get involved in the church, how we can get involved in the community. There's a lot of setbacks that come with that. First of all, when we do anything local, whether it's with the local church or a local charity drive or anything like that, people may accuse us of having ulterior motives. If they know us really well, it couldn't be that God inspired us. It must be because she just likes to be in control. That's why she wants to do this. Or he just wants the credit or the attention for having done this. And it's sad to say, but people think this way on the local level when we see people that we know reaching out. Another setback is people often will be underappreciated. You know, a church event happens, people volunteer, they come, they help, and you're not grateful for the ones that help. You just think about all those people who didn't show up. And the ones that did show up, they don't get any thanks or any credit. And this happens on the local level because we just expect these people to do something, and that's their duty. And it couldn't possibly be because God was telling them to do it. It couldn't be the work of God. It's them doing their civic duty. And that's another setback to local work and local ministry. And then there's another setback, which is a lot of times people will reject your work, your efforts, because it convicts them. They feel guilty. They see you doing something and they know you really well and they want to assign some ulterior motive because they don't want to have to justify to themselves or to God why they're not doing it. Now I know those are hurtful words to hear, but it happens all the time. I've seen it in churches, not this church, but in other churches, where somebody will give a gift, even if it's given anonymously, but a member gives a gift and other people will be offended by it. Who does that person think they are giving all that money? Are they trying to show off? And a lot of times it'll be because maybe we feel guilty. But let somebody who's not affiliated with the church write a big check and give it, and it's a miracle. Or an angel did it. Sometimes we want to write these things off because they make us uncomfortable. They convict us of things maybe that we ought to be doing. But that doesn't mean we don't try. That doesn't mean we throw in the towel and say, well, I'm just not going to help the local church or on the local level or volunteer at the community shelter or whatever. We still try because answering God's call is more important than what everybody around us thinks. And that's what is so amazing about what Jesus did here. He went to Nazareth knowing what was up. He knew how people were going to receive him there. And he was ready for it. When they were offended by him, he right off the bat, he said, yeah, a prophet's not without honor except in his own country. Because he knew going into the situation that the people of Nazareth were going to reject him. But he stayed there and he ministered anyway. And it says that he even healed people. We talked about this scripture last week in our Sunday school class. And I said, you know, I'm always amazed by that verse that says he couldn't really do anything except heal some people. Like, that's all he could do was, you know, supernaturally heal people. That says something about Jesus's power. But he still did it. He still stayed there and he ministered and he healed, even though their faith was small, because that was part of God's plan for him. And that is the greatest part about this passage, is that Jesus, his commitment to doing this work superseded any kind of negative feedback he was going to get from other people. So we have to ask ourselves, how available are we? How willing are we to step out of our comfort zone in familiar settings? You know, which is easier? To go share the good news of Jesus Christ with a complete stranger, or to do it at work? To do it at home? To do it at a family reunion or family gathering? Anybody can go to Atlanta with some tracts and say, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's easy. But then when we put it here, in our town, around people who know us, people we work with, people we eat with, it becomes a little bit too real. All of a sudden, these are people that we see every day, that we communicate with all the time. And is it going to be awkward? And afterwards, I still have to see them every day. You know, our new church directory is out. And I looked at it this morning, and it's amazing. The list is not just one page anymore. We've got names on the back, too. That's great. That's a wonderful thing. But I think a great goal for us this next year could be, let's fill up the second page, too. But that's only going to happen if we're willing to get out of that comfort zone and talk to people that are familiar with us. Talk to people that are here in town. Share the love of Christ with them. Invite them. Encourage them to come. That's the only way it's going to happen, is if we step out of that comfort zone. Where is your Nazareth? Is it at work? Is it at school? Is it at your dinner table? Where is the Nazareth that you feel like you're going to be rejected and resisted if you do God's work there? If you meet resistance, chances are you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. You know, the things that are easy to do, no resistance. And that's probably not what God's calling you to do. But when God says, look, this is somebody I want you to talk to, this is somebody I want you to love, to minister to give to, whatever it is, there's going to be resistance because the devil doesn't want you doing that. And the most effective form of resistance is the resistance that lives up here. And when somebody that you're familiar with and you know discourages you or falsely accuses you of having ulterior motives, then it's inward. You take it personally. And up here you start to think, well, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. You've fallen into the resistance. Where is your Nazareth? Where is that place where you need to step out of your comfort zone and talk to those people around you? Love those people around you. Sometimes we never feel more alone as we do when we're ridiculed or criticized or ignored in a familiar setting by familiar people. But the greatest thing about following Jesus is that we're never really alone. He's been there. He's done that. He'll be there again. As long as we're willing to be the people through which he acts and he speaks, he promises to be there and to help us. And praise God for that. Turn with me to page 12 in your hymnal. This morning we had the opportunity to feast at the Great Communion. And as we prepare our hearts for this, you'll follow along with me and read responsibly, beginning with the invitation. Christ our Lord invites to this table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another.